Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show, right here on talk808.com. Good you're listening in, and I appreciate you tuning in. It's right around the corner, or just a couple steps away, is Christmas. And many of you are going to celebrate, many of you don't. But whatever we do, we should think about the kindness that is available to us and how we can generate it and pass it on and feel good about it and keep fighting the good fight. I'm noticing people tend to be a little shy, a little bit more shy now in speaking up. I don't know if they're just, it's from attrition or burnout, or they just don't give a darn, or discouragement, who knows. But it's sort of scary, because this is a nation built on the principles of free speech, civil rights, and all of that. And we tend to, I guess civil rights is when you go apply for a job in the minds of some people, and you are denied unlawfully, or you get a job and then you're discriminated against or harassed, or actions taken against you because of gender, race, creed, color, sex, relationship, or religion. And but actually, there's other aspects of this and other angles, such as Flint, Michigan. Many areas, the Appalachia, or many areas where have environmental issues and concerns or activities that are have a negative impact on human health and the environment, the physical environment. And we don't speak up, or we do speak up, and our leaders, the so-called leaders, that are supposed to be captaining the ship or steering the ship in the righteous waters of you know, things that are supposed to do right for all people as best can. But for some reason, politics seems to seep into just about everything. And the politicians today know when to, the savvy, you call it, if you call it savvy, is to wait out the people, say something, find the people objecting or demanding certain things, and they give it a cooling off period, and then they later come back and serve you up their decisions, nothing to do with the real decisions or the desires of the general populace. So we talk quite often on here, and last week I talked about EALs, environmental action levels, and again, environmental racism, environmental discrimination, all of that, actions taken where the politicians know that there are problems. And we've pointed out, for example, Red Hill. If you can follow this, and it's a simple situation, but difficult to explain because people don't listen, or they immediately think that they're excused from these areas, are untouchable by these areas, are uninfluenced, or their lives are untouched. But now the Red Hill. And I'm going to keep talking about this until someone say, got it, really got it. Because Camp Lejeune involved in South Carolina, or North Carolina, I think, one of those Carolinas. I'll look it up again. But Camp Lejeune has major, major water contaminant issues. People are dying, getting sick, and by cancers of names that they can't even apply to them. They don't even recognize them, till. And but owning up to it, our, quote, leaders in that area don't own up to it. They didn't own up to it and denied, lived in denial for years. And there are some direct parallels or examples right here in Red Hill. Now, again, following this, I offered that to try to set it up. The idea is having clean water. You start off with no diesel byproducts or no constituents or chemicals or contaminants of potential concerns like TPH in gasoline, TPHD, TPHMD, and just the whole array assortment of them. Naphthalene, the methyl naphthalene, and other constituents, lead, dissolved lead. You would find these as a background, I guess, naturally some of these elements, but some of them you wouldn't find because they're man-made. And you shouldn't find them. So there's these 20 tanks, we'll say, underground storage tanks, for those of you that are not familiar with Red Hill. And they stand about 250 million gallons of fuel oil or fuel product can be housed there, or at one time was housed there. Some of the tanks have been taken out of service, as we last read. But these elements that are found in the water up there, you have to ask yourself, why are they there? What caused them to be there? Are they naturally occurring? Well, some of the products is not naturally, but are man-made. And so what's going on is why I say I equate it to Camp Lejeune and other places, Flint, Michigan. Now, if a product isn't naturally occurring, it had to get there some way if it's present. And so it's a numbers game. And apparently, if you go to college and you take a class and you're an engineer or you learn your environmental science, it gives a feeling that you care. And in reality, no, you're just doing that so you can get a job. And that's what appeared to be the situation here with many of the people that I've met in the, quote, environmental technical field or science field. They have the name environmental, but if the company or business or the government wants a certain result or get a certain product overlooked or what have you, you know how to play the numbers game. So this is that EALs that we, environmental action levels, that we've been tossing around, and we're going to ask major questions, and so are other people. Mr. Ernest Lau, director of the Board of Water Supply, was asking those things, as well as myself, and then there's Walter Chan, and I don't know who else is out there asking questions, but you find these products, and I'm going to read a couple of them to you later on, where the products are in the water, and the EAL, let's say, and I'm just giving an example to convey this. So the EALs for mercury, and we're not talking about mercury up there, but just, we'll say TPHD, is 10. That's just a number I pull out of the air, but to illustrate. So the TPH is 10. That means that's an environmental action level. There's some difficulties in understanding what the state health department think of EALs and what they're supposed to be used for. So you have this clean slate of environmental area concern, this entire aquifer underneath the Mauna Loa. It's the Mauna Loa, and then there's another name to one of them. But they're naturally clean, no oil byproducts. So this TPHD shows up in a water sample, a monitoring well, that is placed throughout the area. And I'm being very general in my statements here so that I can illustrate. So you have you sample the water that started off pristine and clean. No constituents of related to oil or gasoline or anything. But now you find one TPH with 10. You're supposed to take an action because this is based on a risk assessment and the health concern. It's not to help manage the fuel tanks, but it's to monitor the environmental impacts and try to minimize them. And if there's leaks in the tanks, and then it's the water level is 100 feet below the tanks is the underground aquifer. So you got this 10. Now that's a problem because you said that if you keep it under 10, you're okay. If it's above 10, no problem. You will change it, and that's what they did. But if you try to find out what the scientific reason or rationale is, they tell you that they increased it based on models, based on actions taken by Dr. Roger Brewer, who works for the Department of Health. But when you ask them to demonstrate, what about the real impacts of the illnesses that are associated with just the 10? And for some reason, they are able to just dismiss that and have dismissed it. And continue on by increasing the numbers. So if you take that same situation and take soil, let's say, at Schofield Barracks, they allow you to, or Hickam, they allow the EALs to be exceeded, and when they were exceeded and created a problem for the military, the Air Force, and its contractors, they increased it. They'll tell you it's based on science, but if you ask them to show you the science, there's no science. It's a battle of models and numerical models and what have you. It reads such as this, if there was a major spill, it would do this possibly. But why not go on? We have started off clean, and now we had a level of 10. That level now is being detected higher. And some of these things are much higher, where they were 110 or what so, and I'll read the more specific numbers. And to that reached a level of 6,000 milligrams per liter. So, now the question is, do you want to be drinking water that initially started off, they say 10, it was the number for an EAL, and when you sample it, 10 milligrams per liter, micrograms or whatever per liter, and you sample it, you've exceeded it. Now, how do you get from that to, let's say, the same practices apply to soil? So at Schofield or Hickam, there's this soil. The number could be, Dilgen, Aldrin, and Chlordane, and these are pesticides or termiticides. And it says it's, again, I'll use the number 10 EALs. In this case, at Hickam, they exceeded the levels, and there was a strict and an aggressive effort on the part of the health department, applaud them for that, under the HERE office and whatever, the solid waste, hazardous waste branch, to place restrictions. And they talk about tier one and tier two and tier three, but nonetheless, it's still talking about human health and the environmental health. That's ultimately what it's all about. So they find the soil that's really contaminated, and they place specific conditions on what you can do with it. Well, you can leave the soil in place, and then you can cap it with clean soil. But if you can scoop it up, if it's less than 10, you don't have to worry. You can transport it, and you don't even have to transport it with strict labels or specifying that the person driving it, the truck, is trained for hazardous waste. So you take a bundle of that soil and dump it over in Kaneohe or Hicken or Haiku, wherever. So what you've done is, even though the levels of 10 are less than 10, you're taking contaminated soil and then you're spreading that soil to another area on the island. So imagine this process taking place for some while now. How much pollution is being transferred, spread out inadvertently or intentionally? So the whole island potentially will become polluted with elements of concern or constituents of concern, chemicals, dilgenalgin, or whatever the bad boy is now being taken and put on farmland because the health department believes that if it's less than this particular number, then it's okay. And then if you're going to take it and introduce it to another fuel, apparently diluting it is okay, but you still have the contaminants in the soil. Now you just have spread it out, and you spread it out because, again, the numbers are not exceeded. So if I give you a full bottle of rat poison, or strychnine, and tell you to just pour one drop in there, in your glass, and drink it. Would you be motivated to drink it? Probably not. You wouldn't be thinking, well, I could drink the whole bottle, you know. No, it's still strychnine. It's still a poison. So when they say, oh, yeah, you can move this soil because it comes up to just a point, 10 decimal from being illegal or raising concerns. So I wish I had a better way of explaining it to you, but there we don't have anybody overseeing this, and I've explained to you in other shows that the state health department, as much as they snarl, growl, and bite, they have no bite when it comes to the military. You just have a little puppy love going on there. And if they tell you, if the state health department tell you they got something under control, then you better know that it's not under control. They have no issues. So I think I told you I wrote a letter to the health department, the one solid waste branch that handles the underground storage tank, to Roxanne Kwan. Now, these are good people. You meet them in the hallway, it's a restaurant, downtown shopping. It's all good. But they work for a system that is failing. And a system that is so finely tuned to corruption and oversight just is not there. Holding people's feet to the fire is not there. There is no fire, so to speak. You can hold their feet to it. And through this layers and layers of paper. But at the end of the day, you really got nothing. You can catch someone knowingly violating the law. And on many occasions here, there's not a criminal charge for environmental rules. It becomes a civil charge. So, and that civil charge is very questionable, and the handling of it is very questionable, because what happens is it goes to a hearing. You have to, when you receive a notice that you violated the law, you have and to get one of those, you got to be really a screw up. You really got to be not politically connected, you got to be almost a nobody to get one of these. The bigger guys, hands off. They don't bother them. They may one or two, but as a rule, we have more contaminants being dispersed and spread over the state of Hawaii more than you can think by the bigger companies. So I wrote this letter, and these are questions, and I basically updates what I wanted to be asking was, here's some of the questions. I would greatly appreciate answers to the following. Are the contaminants detected at any levels directly related to releases or leaks at the Red Hill Underground fuel storage tank? Their answer to me was, there being the solid waste branch, solid hazardous waste, UST division, underground storage tank. Historic detections of fuel constituents found in the area of the Red Hill tanks are assumed to be associated with historic releases of the fuel from the facility. Now, I'm thinking, okay, why would we assume anything when we know that if you have fuel in a tank, or 20 tanks, about 250 million gallons potentially, maybe a few of them are different assortments, so it would behoove you or benefit the public if the state were to do what they call fingerprinting of the fuel oil, or coming as close as possible to ask, okay, we can't assume, because there could be, if we went to court with this, there could be an explanation, well, how do you know it's our fuel from the Navy wells, the Navy tanks? We don't. We assume. Well, why didn't you do sampling to find out? Well, then did you do any screening in the area to see if there were other operations that may have introduced or be responsible for these constituents to be in the water? But again, this is what you call lazy enforcement, but not lazy in the sense that they don't do any work, because they do a lot of work. I mean, they spend more time working and covering up than it would be in a normal day's work, than it would be to just do it legally and clear across the board. So, again, the updates on the environmental action levels are carried out every few years to reflect information, new information, and experience. The rationale for updates summarized in Volume 2 of the EAL document. Now, the EAL document that they wrote up is sort of scary, because, and I'll get to that, basically, the EAL document that they refer to, mind you, I don't have that document, and they didn't mind it, but the EAL, as she say, the updates are carried out every few years. That's a major undertaking, a major action on the part of a state agency. So therefore, one would assume that is such a substantial action, the public would be notified and given opportunity to comment. But between you and me, there are no periods of time such as that, and they don't care, and they're never going to intend to do it unless we continue to push and ask questions now. But that is what, I'm trying to locate this. I lost my place here on this document. First of all, assuming that I know about the document, you could be talking to anyone. And, again, assuming that I would know about this in order to understand it. That's number one. So if you would have to know that it's there, and how do you know that it's there? Okay, I'm just. Well, I'm going to locate it later, and I'll get it to you. But basically, it's saying that they set the EALs, and even though they've rid them in, and it may appear that this is what they say, but you really can't bank on that because it could change. And they have the right to change it. Once again, no public input. So it's kind of crazy that they would do this. So here's a I'm going to give you a rundown on the contamination that have already been detected in the water at Red Hill. And basically, this is a report that was written for NAFAC. Scary stuff. And they're talking about the real discussion is, oh, we want to rebuild the tanks, or do we want to remove the tanks? Do we want to retrofit them with something, or no? The discussion could parallel to this at the same time, given the same information, is that you want to be talking about the contaminants in the water and how they're impacting people and what studies is the state and the federal government conducting to monitor for illnesses triggered by the presence of these constituents in the water from the Red Hill Tank Farm. So in 1998, EarthTech conducted a Phase 2 remedial investigation feasibility study for the oily waste disposal facility located with the RHF Red Hill fuel tanks facility, storage facility. The study involved installing wells and well OWDFMWO1, which was originally MWO8. So each of these testing wells or test wells have an actual number assigned to alphabetical number and numbers combined. So let's go back to just to show you why you should be concerned and why they should amp up or increase the public involvement and public notification. And speaking of public notification, I recall now in just in the last 2 months or so, they've canceled each public meeting because of some nonsense. In February 2001, we'll start here, the DON installed groundwater monitoring well, we'll call it WO1, to monitor for contamination in the basal aquifer beneath the Red Hill fuel station. Well RHMWO1 was installed approximately 100 feet below within the lower access tunnel. Now, these wells are built inside tunnel and outside of tunnel, so that when they give a report, quarterly reports, you'll have to be careful and read them if you are inclined to read them. The depth of the water was measured at 86 feet below grade at the time of the well completion. In February 2001, a groundwater sample was collected from the well. Total petroleum hydrocarbons, TPH, and lead were detected in the samples. Lead was detected at a concentration above the Department of Health Environmental Action level. Now, I didn't say that. That's lead now. And the environmental company, Intech, did the work. In 2005, the Red Hill Groundwater Monitoring Program was initiated. Now, they hadn't been monitoring these impacts, mind you, prior to 2001. So if you've gone to any meetings and you've seen the people tell you the rare cancers and the strange diseases that they've developed over the years and lived in the Mauna Loa and consumed water from the Red Hill facility. And if the truth be told, any other recipient of this water maybe probably can connect the dots and find that they too were poisoned by the constituents. And these aren't my assumptions. These are records that they don't want you to know and want you to have, because they were, at that time when they first came out, there was some honesty and there was no need to try and hoodwink the public and wed everything up together to hoodwink them. So in 2005, samples were collected in February, June, September, and December of 2005. Lead was detected at concentrations above DOH EALs in samples collected in February and June. The samples collected in February and June were not filtered prior to the analysis, whereas the samples collected in the September and December were filtered prior to analysis. Since the samples collected in February and June were not filtered prior to analysis, the lead results was not considered appropriate for a risk assessment. Now, folks, when you hire someone to do water samples and all, hire them, professionals, it's inexcusable they had a sample. Go back and do it over again and tell us what the results of that was. Don't tell us what missteps you made as if that's going, okay, well, you didn't filter it, so does that mean to give us a false reading, right? Between June and September 2005, Tech installed 3 groundwater monitoring wells within the RHSF Red Hill Fuel Station. Well RHMW04 was installed upgrading of the UST underground storage tank to provide underground geochemistry information for water moving through the basal aquifer beneath the Red Hill Station. Well RHMW02 and 03 were installed approximately 125 feet below grade, with the RHF lower level, and well RHW04 was installed to depths of approximately 300 feet outside of the RHF SF tunnel. September 2005, groundwater samples were collected from the 3 installed groundwater monitoring wells. That was WO2, WO3, RHMW04, and along with 2 existing wells. And the COPs or COPCs with concentrations exceeding DOH levels are summarized below. Constituents of potential concerns, if you want to know what that means. That's a COPC, the acronyms. Here we go. RHMW01, TPHD was detected at concentrations above the DOH level. And you'd have to be a sophisticated reader to remember, okay, what was the level? So they allow this report to be written in language, was detected at concentrations above DOH EAL. Above now. Now, you're being allowed to operate with contaminants in the water, and you shouldn't, but they've jiggled those numbers to allow themselves to be, have a conscience and let you drink the foul water. But then when it goes exceeding the numbers, you don't hear any outcry. Did you ever recall hearing anything to say, whoa, we had it at this EAL level, and it exceeded that substantially. We need to alert the public, and we need to find another source of drinking water, or we need to do something to mitigate the contaminants that are in the water and rid ourselves of the source of contamination. So RHWO2, TPHG, TPHD, naphthalene, trichloroethylene, methyl naphthalene, and 2-methyl naphthalene were detected at concentrations above DOH EALs. In another well, TPHD was detected at concentrations above DOH EAL. So that's in 2005. 2001, they started sampling. 2006, Tech installed dedicated sampling pumps and blah, blah, and went on to say, in July and December of 2006, groundwater samples were collected from five wells. The COPCs with concentrations exceeding DOH EALs are summarized. Exceeding now. This is, again, the state tells the feds or the military, your water that you're taking out of here has been contaminated with your fuel, we assume. And so, therefore, we need you to do something about it. And that's about as far as it goes because the feds declare sovereignty and say the state has no jurisdiction over their matters, believe it or not. But please come along with us, state, because you have a responsibility under the EPA to do the drinking water, safe drinking water. So we don't want to ostracize you and alienate you completely. We can use you in this game that we're going to play, pausing the people. It's a new game. But we've been practicing it at Camp Lejeune and other facilities. But allow us. So please, you have we'll make reports and give them to you as required, but you still have no say on our property. So in 2006, again, TPHD showed up in well W01, 02, and 03, and naphthalene were detected at concentration above DOHEALs. See, it's repeated. If you're getting that much contamination in the water, as they've seen at Red Hill, ask yourself, why haven't they come out and told people about it and be emphatic about it and place great emphasis on it to say that it's contaminated? Instead, they lumped them all together, other facilities, to say that we're going to address all the UST's concerns that may be leaking. No, we want you to come back and grab hold of this issue and deal with it and tell us how about the cancer levels that may have increased? How about the illnesses and all the other deformities that may have presented themselves in newborns? You don't get any of that. And they're staying away from it. And the Department of Health, State Department of Health, is complicit in this. They had these records that I'm reading to you. I had not reviewed them. This is per Tanaba, one of the UST people, who said that, oops, I got the records, but I put them on my desk. I overlooked them, and I didn't have a chance to review them. Well, what then was the safe drinking water branch basing its numbers on? When they rely, they don't do sampling and testing themselves. The information they were getting was from the health department's UST branch, supposedly. But if the UST branch had overlooked him and had him stacked under his desk, then they're either lying about safe water drinking or cooked up some numbers to say during that period of time the drinking water was safe. So in 2006, and back up here. Now, naphthalene, for example, the Department of Health, show you how disjointed this is and why you might have another reason to be concerned. The health department says, here's for naphthalene was a certain number. And grams per milliliter, per liter, milligrams per liter. And they were allowing them to show up and reflect that, yes, naphthalene was in the water coming from the fuel tanks or the fuel product that had leaked. So instead of shutting them down and putting a notice out to the public, what they did was they increased the numbers to accommodate. But then the EPA revisited the impacts that naphthalene poses in, to determine if it was carcinogenic, and it was determined that it was carcinogenic. And so the Department of Health then lowered the EALs, which is the right thing to do. But you see how easy it is. They were allowing them to work at a certain level with naphthalene in the water because it didn't exceed their levels, but because it wasn't carcinogenic. But then once it was proved to be carcinogenic, so we're playing Russian roulette, or just placing, basically taking the public out and placing them on a shooting range and exposing them to great danger and great harm. And I'm not making this stuff up. This is, these things are found in the files, and they don't want you to see them. Now they've gone to an Excel file, and you have to be either hell-bent on proving something, or it don't make for good reading. While in these reports, the way they have these reports, they should have continued for the lay people to be able to understand specifics. And when they say that they have updates to EALs are carried out every few years, and that's a lie, because in that situation with the carcinogens that naphthalene presented, they changed the EALs, not on a routine basis. So you don't see that, oh, when we find that there are higher levels than we've allowed, and the EPA kind of makes some the contradiction to what we've been practicing, oh, we change it. And it's just absolutely crazy. 2007, groundwater samples were collected from the four wells. Again, samples were collected in March, June, and September of 2007. TPH was detected at concentrations above DOH EAL. Now, this is 2007. They wrote Ernie Lau a letter telling him about his questions were basically, he wrote Bruce Anderson, director of the health department. In November 2007, DOH raised its groundwater EALs for TPHD, and the TPH EAL based on health protection was increased to 160 milligrams per liter to 400 milligrams per EAL based on odor or taste was increased from 100 to MGL to 500 MGL. So how is it that Ernie Lau is writing about TPHD where they've changed it, and yet in 2007 they had high levels in every occasion, 2006, 2001, 2005. They exceeded the levels. So, 2007, I hope you're getting this now. 2008, TPHD was detected at concentrations above DOH EALs. And again, naphthalene was detected in concentrations above DOH EALs. In 2009, groundwater monitoring wells, RH, was installed, downgrading of the USTs within lower access tunnel between RHMW01 and RHMW2254-01. It was installed to identify the extent of contamination downgrading of the USTs. Folks, basically what I'm telling you in a long way around, just to sit here and talk, is that Red Hill is contaminated. Screw the use of EALs. Red Hill is contaminated. If a bank robber goes into the bank and you don't go, well, it's not a big problem because it's only one bank robber. But if it was a 5, 6, or 10 of a team of bandits, you'd get excited then? No, the state don't get excited about anything. They're because they're in the cover-up mode. They're in the business of accommodating an entity that has polluted the major source of drinking water in the state of Hawaii. And people are consuming it, and people are showing up with diseases and cancers of that out of this world. And 2008, again, it was detected at higher levels. Naphthalene, methanaphthalene, naphthalene were detected at concentration above. Now, 2009. Now, this is disheartening because this is a state agency that's supposed to be on top of this. 2009. Again, the concentrations, I'm trying to shorten it. In 2009, groundwater monitoring wells were installed, downgrading of USTs. It was installed to identify the extent of contamination downgrading now of the USTs. Well, RHMWO5 was added to the quarterly groundwater sampling program in 2009. Quarterly groundwater samples were collected from wells 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, and 401. Samples were collected in February, May, June, May, July, and October of 2009. The COPCs with concentrations exceeding DOHL were summarized. Again, TPHD exceeding in 2009. TPHD at 4 wells detected in 2010. And again, these are exceeding the levels of the set by the state. Now, how do you suppose they continue to operate? Did they change the EALs? Obviously, they did. Yes, they actually did change them. Because if they didn't, they'd be shutting down Red Hill. And they would be prosecuting. And I ask, the state agencies are basically bullies. I'm just going to tell you the way it is, in my experience. They sit and scream, as I told you, alluded to the health department. They don't do much of work that would show that they are real troopers and coppers. You got 20 days once you get a notice to ask for a hearing. You go before a hearing. The judge there, and in my opinion, can just become creative and give you any kind of sentence. If you're fined $20,000, the question is, how did you arrive at $20,000 for the fine? All of that, there's no science behind that. All of that is questionable, and holes could be poked in it with good attorneys. And just bring it out. Well, how are you arriving at $20,000 penalty? Or how are you arriving at telling my client that they need to clean up the water or are responsible for the contamination when you've done no studies to establish that the oil that's in the water come from their facility? So that tells me that being able to operate in the fashion that they do, they're just there to cover up environmental crimes against the people. That's all the state health department is. It has nothing to do with the reality of protecting the people up front. If it's, whether it's hepatitis or some of the other bacteria that come in on fish or what have you, they're always foot dragging and always poised to give you this lame explanation, we're looking into it. You rarely hear them say, we're on top of this. Oh, man, we have people in place. No. Ask them about Red Hill. They're going along to get along. And I don't know why the state health department plays its role when, in fact, it's independent. Supposedly, the Constitution of the state of Hawaii is that people should be afforded, I'm speaking loosely about it, a clean environment. It's in the Constitution. But yet an entity that's responsible for overseeing and influencing that and making sure that it is clean is giving away the candy shop, going along to get along. And so 2010 now, we started at 2001, contaminants exceeding levels. 2011, quarterly report shows TPH concentrations above the DOHL. But you don't see them in these reports write what the concentration is, because the state health department covers up for them. The state health department put these under their desk, supposedly. The state health department should have written back to feds and say, you know, look, this, you need to tell your contractor to give us a better report. What do you mean by the COPs with concentration above, or the were detected at concentrations above the DOHEAL? Tell us what the reading were. The readings were what? In some instances, showed up 6,000 when it was only 160, 120, or 140 milligrams per liter. Some samples showed up at 6,000 milligrams per liter. Hell, that sounds like they were just sucking oil straight out of the aquifer, just sucking oil. 2012, the same thing. And so previous reports were previously submitted, and that's the way they do it, folks. There's no debate necessary or needed to talk about the military tanks and the health department. First of all, they don't have the expertise. They only have one or two people there at the state health department, and they got many USTs around the state. Why would they be in the business of telling the feds or the military what kind of tanks, what they should do, is just a spinning of the wheels, because they don't have the expertise anyway. And how can you be the enforcer of the law if you're also a business advisor? So if the advice that you give them fails, then are they responsible legally for the failure and for the contamination, for the spillage? So that's why there should be a complete cessation of this relationship. You either play the role of enforcer or complicitor, a party that works in concert with the military to lie to the people, to contaminate the waters, to do nothing about it, and to leave people sick and dying. You can't play both roles. You call them up, there's secrecy. You call them up and ask the health department any questions. It took me a month to get a letter of response back. It was five basic questions. And I mentioned to you the bully. This is what they do. I ask the solid waste branch, Roxanne, are there any law enforcement actions taken against the United States Navy for the releases, the spillage? That's a normal what you do. You hold the spiller responsible. She writes back, the administrative order on consent is an administrative enforcement action. Please contact Deputy Attorney General Mr. Wade Hargrove if you have questions regarding the administrative order and consent. Well, first of all, I'd have to know that there was a consent. And then if you got a consent, why isn't it public record? Why wasn't it posted on the website? So that means that they'll bully you around. Okay, the little guy like Carol Cox will call. Just send him to the attorney general, and he'll get scared. We'll back him off. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We're the attorney general's office. That's the message I get. When, in fact, if there's a consent decree, that consent decree should have been public. Without hesitation. It should have been there. This is what we're doing to these yahoos for spilling contaminants in our water for the last 50 years or 60 years. And again, I'm saying to you, not going out on a limb, I'm climbing up the tree and say to you and shouting it out, the Red Hill Aquifer, I'll call it that. I was going to call it the names of the Monalua and what have you. But the Red Hill Aquifer, and there's several influences on that aquifer, is contaminated. And it's contaminated from the behavior and the activities of the military, United States Navy, at its Red Hill facility, underground storage tank facility. I said that. And I know many of you would say, well, you know, you could get sued over that. Well, it'd be a pleasant day to be sued by the U.S. government for polluting you and me and the environment, and then having someone working in concert with them to cover it up. So I wish I could say to you something better, but I just had to tell you that these documents, and you're more than welcome to get copies of them, and I would be happy to share with you the whole packet of goods that we have here, and they are, it's scary. I mean, when you look at what is happening, it is very frightening that a health department, and now you got the Safe Drinking Water branch that's complicit in this too, in this so-called cover-up. Now, I don't know. So, back to that one item that I was talking about for the evaluation of the EALs and the disclaimer. This document, Evaluation of Environmental Hazards at Sites in Contaminated Soil and Groundwater Fall, is a technical report prepared by staff of the Hawaii Department of Health Environmental Management Division. The document updates and replaces the document screening for environmental concerns at sites with contaminated soil and groundwater interim final report is March 2009. Now get this now. This document provides guidance for identification and evaluation of the environmental hazards associated with contaminated soil and groundwater. The environmental action levels presented in this document and the accompanying text are specifically not intended to serve as a standalone decision-making tool. Two, guidance for the preparation of baseline environmental risk assessments. Three, rule to determine if waste is hazardous under the state or federal regulations. Four, a rule is to determine when the release of hazardous substances must be reported to the DOH. That sounds okay. But then it goes on, the information presented in this document is not final action. There's the killer. The HDOH reserves the right to change this information at any time without public notice. The king has spoken, folks. You and I don't matter. Some of you will go away saying, that guy, Carol Cox, is foul-mouthed and should have his teeth kicked in for talking about the government. He's never satisfied about anything. And you're damn right, I am not, especially when I can read and knowing the documents and knowing that there is a guidance written by the State Health Department that tell me that we'll set these standards. And we've known now historically that they will change these standards to cover their friends and the big businesses or who they don't want to prosecute. We already know that now. We also know that the State Health Department knows that the water is contaminated at Red Hill Aquifer, is contaminated from the influence and impacts of spills from the Navy fuel storage system. And yet, they say we can rely on them and trust them because they are the people with the voice and the guidance and what have you, the professional responsibility, the fiduciary responsibility. And yet, they tell you today a certain constituent is 10 milligrams per liter before it becomes a concern or an issue. It's exceeded, but by the way, we can change that any time we want to. And it's done without public notice. So, what's the reality? Is there any reality? Are we just in a fog and walking and hoping one day we'll walk out of that fog? There's got to be an end to this. But there is no end to it when the state health department is complicit in covering up spills of contaminants, poisoning the water and the environment, and then tell you they can do this because of these numbers that we've set out, taken the liberty to set liberally. And then turn around and tell you, but by the way, whatever you're thinking won't matter anyway because we can change these conditions, these numbers, anytime we want to and don't have to tell you because we have the attorney general on our side and that's what bullies do. They poison people. They sicken people. They poison the environment. They contaminate the environment. They lie to people. They cover up. And then you get your monthly report or whatever you get your report on the drinking water. And that drinking water department is complicit because if they ain't getting the numbers in a timely fashion or getting the numbers at all to show that naphthalene is in the water, for example, and naphthalene is carcinogenic and they're saying, oh, well, the levels were 3. And we only have a 2.5 of naphthalene. Yeah, but you're the drinking water. Yeah, but we're the site-specific. Wait, whoa. Again, it's about drinking contaminated water. It's about relying on science and relying on factual data. But if your factual data is under the desk of Rick Tanaba, who forgot that he was supposed to handle those documents, where did you get your information from that showed that the water was not contaminated or the levels were not of concern? Well, I don't know about you, but I am at a loss as to how this can continue. And yet, all we see is politicians telling us, we can handle this. We can take care of this. Look at Mr. Trump. And by the way, did I tell you that the majority of the leadership here in the state of Hawaii is Democrat? So in other words, if Mr. Trump is able to do what he's doing, you know, the moving target, I think Mr. Trump learned a lot of these techniques from the people here in this state because, you know, when you bring in a bully, agency and you tell you can contact the attorney general for something that should be public record anyway, you know, or we have, for your information, we have attached a link to this document, this consent decree. But oh no, send him to the attorney general and that way he'll get scared. That remind me of my days in Mississippi. It was always, everything was resolved. You could find a stack of Bibles and go around and ask people, are these your Bibles? And you will ultimately hear 98% of the people say, you better be careful, man. Police going to get you for that. They're going to think you stole the Bibles. It's that kind of chaotic environment here in the state of Hawaii. You've not once heard anybody come on TV or anywhere and place emphasis and emphasize that the Red Hill Water Reservoir, underground reservoir, we'll call it, aquifer, is contaminated. Nope. All you hear is they're operating under allowable condition and limits. What are those limits? We don't know because they had some more spills and it's going to impede their work and what have you, and their right to store. And, you know, and they really don't have the money right now budgeted for this. Well, go down and ask Mr. Smith and Mr. Williams and Mr. Johnson and Mr. Keala, you know, and ask Chemo and all the others, how's your cancer, bro? Do you have enough money to handle and take care of it? Came from drinking the water. Some of this water goes to Waianae. And I was called talking, some of the water goes to Hawaii Kai. So when we say Moanalua, just keep in mind, and Pearl Harbor, the military bases, are drinking the water. And they are drinking water that, without any argument, has contaminants from the Red Hill fuel storage system. The only problem is, the only thing is that it's below a certain level, which is just all right with me. Now, if this was blood alcohol content, you know, that might get you going, but you're still drinking and driving. Well, I didn't blow. I blew below the limit. Well, you're still drinking and driving. Some people are impaired differently, but they are allowed legally. We come to agreement that, okay, well, if you can not blow, drive below this level that you blow, it's okay. But you're still, so when you go up and it says, it goes, oh, okay. The beeper went off. Detected alcohol, but you're just below the level legally. Well, that don't get it in this Red Hill situation because we don't know who's drinking the water, and each driver can be impaired by a certain amount. One person can drink a beer and fall asleep. Another person can drink a beer and go urinate on himself. It just depends. But how does your body treat cancer? How does your body treat 1 milligram per liter of naphthalene? You know, naphthalene is found in the mothballs, which the EPA banned, had a major concern for mothballs because they're carcinogenic. So you're drinking carcinogens. So if your doctor told you, be careful and grill meat because it generates carcinogens, causes cancer, stomach cancers, you know. Okay, well, how many studies have been conducted up there at Red Hill and the surrounding areas and the consumers of this water to see how much stomach cancers have caused due to carcinogens in the water? I know this is Christmas season, and I'm talking to you like it's Halloween, nightmarishly. I do apologize, but I want to see you next year, and we don't want to miss Christmas because it's just nice to be alive, and it's nice to be healthy, and it's nice to be able to see your grandkids playing and not drinking and not playing in dirt that has been transported from Hickam Air Force Base so that they could save money. And the contractor come up with a neat idea so that they could pocket some of the money and what have you that they save, because to transport it off island and put it in a toxic dump would be costly. So guys, we'll see you next Sunday or next week. And don't forget to tune in to Olelo at Channel 54. On Thursdays and Sundays at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Thursdays, 7 p.m., for the Carol Cox Show, Bittersweet News. And if you want to pick up anything in old files and what have you, and newer ones, go to EnviroWatch.org. And we are going to try to come up with some legal action or some reference to this, but not just a letter telling them off. We're going to seek a legal action because I think it's about time that we bring some action to the table, not to discuss what the tanks are made of up there at Red Hill, how they're built, what they built from. I don't care. Never did care. It's something. It's a national security item. For me, I respect that we need that. It provided us fuel for our war machine, and we need one, and it seems like everybody want to kick our teeth in, or it seems like, or that's what I'm getting. So we need defense. We need the ability to refuel. Not taking any issues with that. But don't poison me while, you know, I mean, let me choose how I want to give my life for the country. Don't have a bunch of folks running around there trying to, the biggest worry they have is how their kid's going to get off to college and how they're going to be able to miss work or go to some meeting on the mainland. You know, to get their kids in college and get that dorm set up. So anyway, it was a pleasure talking to all of you, and we'll talk to you soon. Aloha.